Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. For tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in, and a very happy Thursday to you. Do we have a lineup for you? I'm so excited about both hours today, and they really kind of come together as an overall theme, and here's what it is. It's about you living out your God-given call. First hour today, Glynis Whitwer of Proverbs 31 Ministries joins me to talk about her book, Taming the To-Do List, How to Choose Your Best Work Every Day. And we're going to address the issue of procrastination. Now, some of you know you put things off, but some of you are busy, efficient, and you think this doesn't apply to you. And Glynis would have been that person too. People would marvel at how much she managed. And yet as she started to delve in and God started to kind of poke at things with her a little bit, she started to see that some of the really important decisions were being put off for all the busyness and how people were dictating her schedule. We're going to talk about this whole idea of choosing our best work every day, because so many of us put off our God-given dreams because we're just running the rat race. And I can't wait for you to hear what Glynis has to say. Get a couple copies of her book. I'd love to get into your hands. And then second hour, Pete and Carolyn Haas join me in studio again. They're pastors of Substance Church here in the Twin Cities. He's got a fantastic book titled Broken Escalators. And he's going to talk about, both of them will talk about how to be positioned for God-given promotion. And he said our focus so often is on promotion when it really needs to be on promotability. And we'll talk about the character that undergirds our God-given promotion. And life is too short to not be living out the very dreams that God has for our lives. And do you believe that about your life, that God actually has a dream for you? He does. And yet, it requires our participation. It requires our prioritization of time and treasures and talents. And so you really are in for a treat. I hope you can listen both hours today. Before I get Glynis on, I want to read an excerpt from her book, Taming the To-Do List. Excuse me. This is what she writes. Perhaps you know this feeling. No matter how much you do, what bothers you most is what you didn't do. That long list of to-dos keeps you up at night. It motivates you to download more productivity apps. You read every article on time management you can find, and still you struggle to get things done, to manage all you have to do. And your list, well, it just keeps growing. A lot of these tasks are mundane, everyday tasks, but there's more than just the required and necessary undone tasks that bother you. There are dreams you cannot touch, the vacations you don't plan, the time you know you should spend with your parents or your children or your friends. The shoulds of life trail us, tapping on our shoulders, saying, "Don't forget about me." Do you relate? Well, I sure do. And you've come to the right place today. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on this show. Glynis Whitwer is an author and a speaker, as well as the executive director of communication for Proverbs 31 Ministries. Glynis, her husband Todd, and their 5 children live in Arizona. You can find her influencer page up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dear Glynis, welcome back to the program.
Well, hi, Susie. Thank you so much.
Good to have you. So, Glynis, we love to start out our conversation talking scripture. We love the Word of God, and we just know that it's living and active. So I'm wondering, as we prepare for this conversation, is there a verse either that relates to the content or just a verse you've been pondering these days you can share with us?
Well, thank you, Susie, and I agree with you about God's Word. I'm a writer, and I work with writers, and I always say one of God's words is more powerful than a million of mine. So thank you for starting and giving me that opportunity to give glory to God through His Word. And, one verse that really speaks to me is 1 Corinthians 4:2. This is from the New International Version, and it says, "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful." And I know for me, just years ago, I learned this principle that God's watching to see how faithful we are with what we've been given before He trusts us with more. And so often in my own life, I'm sort of guilty of thinking, well, my life would be easier if this, like I could really do good things if this condition were in place, or if I had better tools or a different house or something, made more money. But God's just saying, how faithful are you with where you are right now? And then I'll see about giving you more of what you want. So anyway, that's been a real powerful scripture for me in my life, just to be faithful with what he's given me today, whatever that looks like.
And that's, you know, that right there is worth the price of admission right now. Today, someone's listening going, they've been whining, grumbling, complaining. Why, God, why does this next thing not happen? And maybe that's just their next step, is steward the ground underneath their feet right now. So very good.
Yeah.
Okay, so Glynis, before you wrote the book, Taming the To-Do List, give us an at-a-glance view of your life as far as, because you were managing a lot and you were efficient and fruitful in certain ways. So just sort of give a synopsis of what your life was like before God started to kind of poke at you and gnaw at you about, I want you to take a deeper look because I want to make you even more fruitful and efficient.
Yeah, well, you did mention five children, and that I've always been someone who sought to have achievements in my life, and so that there's a whole life lesson there. The Lord had to teach me that my worth wasn't found in those achievements and what I could check off my to-do list. But so the Lord was working on me about that for years. Just don't put your worth in what you do. But my wiring is just to, I'm wired to produce. I'm wired to achieve something. So we had three children, three biological boys, one, right after another. And then a number of years later, my husband and I both had a heart to adopt. And so in 2005, we adopted two little girls from Africa. So I had kind of thought I was managing things well before the adoption, but then when you adopt older children, they were 8 and 10, we knew we were, and especially adopting from a war zone, which was Liberia, Africa, we knew we were going to bring on some challenges, but we really didn't, and we had no way to anticipate the challenges, and they were pretty significant. And so I just kept trying to manage and thinking I was doing well until I didn't have a mental breakdown, but I absolutely felt like I was falling apart. Like I just couldn't manage things, and I thought I could, but I just felt like I was unraveling. And it was the start of the Lord making me look at all that I was doing and having to admit, golly, I have to admit all the time, I'm not superwoman. I'm not superwoman. That I think I can manage things, but the reality is I can't manage everything I want to. So the Lord started really making me look at how I was managing what I was doing. Well, this issue of procrastination was something, so I'd already been trying to look at all that I had to do, all I had to manage. But this issue of procrastination just kept coming up. And so I really didn't think I was a procrastinator. I thought, everybody puts something off, and I'm putting things off because either, I'm already managing, I'm at max capacity. Of course, everybody has to put things off because they're when they have a lot to do, but the Lord pushed me. No, there's more to it than that. Why are you putting some of these things off? Like, he made me stop and face what was really going on inside of me and why I wasn't getting certain things done. And so that's where this book came from. I mean, it's just, I feel like for the past 5 years, I've been on this process of trying to understand what's changed in our society, in our culture, and how do I adapt to it, and how do I, on top of it all and underneath it all, how do I live out God's priorities and his best for me and love those around me? Like those, that's it. Five years still trying to figure it out, Susie, because our culture keeps changing.
And so fast. It's changing and in this accelerated fashion. And I appreciate you telling that story because that's one of the truths I think we have to understand, that if we're spinning our wheels and doing too much, even a lot of good things but not the God things, it's just not sustainable. I mean, we're all going to hit a wall someday. I've been there too. And this quote you said, my life felt out of control. I was burned out from having too much to do and always feeling behind. The fear of disappointing someone chased me constantly. I was busy, but I didn't know what else to do. Turns out I didn't have an anxiety problem. I had an overcommitment problem. Okay, so when you got to that place where you felt like this is not sustainable, what were your first steps out of that place?
Well, I had to do just a brain dump is basically what it was. And it's something that I learned from David Allen's book called Getting Things Done. This is kind of the turning point for me because, you know, when you want to check more off your to-do list, I do exactly what I wrote. I was like, okay, I can do this by downloading a productivity app, or if I read this book on getting things done, I'll figure out how to get everything done. Of course, there was a deeper issue that was afoot, but getting that act, his first assignment was make a list of everything you have to do, everything you have to do now, and everything you have to do in the future. And it took me days, Susie, to do this because I kept thinking of things. And I mean, there were things I can remember. It took me like 3 days, and the list was like two long pages. But I would, the Lord brought to mind that I almost had a panic attack because I'd almost forgotten it, like something I had to do and I'd forgotten. I had it all in one place. And when I had it all in one place, the problem, at least one of the problems, was obvious. There was more than one human being could possibly manage. That it was all in one place and it was evident. And that's when I realized this is what am I doing to myself? And so that's a first place to start. Make a list of everything and things that you have to do every week and things that you have to do once a month and things that are coming up in the summer and so on.
Hmm. Okay. So when did you, because at first glance, if you're talking about overcommitment and exhaustion and you among everybody else in the population, we all attempt to do more than we probably ought. How did procrastination, how did that light bulb go on for you, and how did that change things for you?
Well, I started making changes before I started dealing with the procrastination. So this is back, my kids are older now. My youngest one is 18, but, you know, this was years ago, and I had them all in grade school and high school, so I'm in the midst of the busiest season in my life, and I had to start editing things out, so I had to, and I did it as honorably as I could. I never just quit on anybody, but I got myself out of one commitment after another. The procrastination, I started realizing there were things that I just didn't want to do. I mean, I could do them, but I just didn't want to do them. And probably the biggest one was writing. I mean, I love to write. And I was like, why is the last thing in the world I want to do write when I love to write? So I had to start realizing that there was some resistance that I had, internal resistance to the things that I didn't want to do. Like, why would I put things off that I knew would be in my best interest to do? And so that started, I was still attacking, why am I transferring them from one to-do list to the next to-do list? And I bet you, we've all known that, right? That, that nagging task that finally you get forced to do, either because you're at your deadline or, you know, you don't want to make another late payment. But that was it. What is the resistance? Why don't I want to do this?
We have to pause here and take a break. But, you know, don't you think that the cost of procrastination is so significant, and even to our anxieties and to our perspective. I think when we finally engage and do the things we care about and do the things we ought, it's energizing. It's more exhausting not to do those, you know? Okay, so here's the deal. I've got 4 copies of Glynis's book, Taming the To-Do List. All right, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Include your mailing address. Your name will go in the drawing. Unless you dare to call me. If you call me, you can call anonymously. But tell me the thing that you procrastinate that you wish you wouldn't. Maybe it's your dreams. Maybe it's calling your mother. Maybe it's physical health. Maybe it's getting a budget put together. Maybe it's going back to school. I want to know, okay? 877-933-2484. If you guys get on the air, you gals, you'll be the first to get the book. 877-93-FAITH or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. Back in a moment. Glad you tuned in today. This feels like an important day on Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. We're talking both hours today about different aspects of our God-given call. You know, God has a dream over your life. So first hour today, we're talking with Glynis Whitwer. She wrote the book, Taming the To-Do List, How to Choose Your Best Work Every Day. We're digging into the whole idea of procrastination, and we can use our busyness as an excuse not to do the very things God has called us to do. So here's what I pitched before the break. The first four of you to get on the air to dare to tell me what you procrastinate, and there's no shame in this because we all do this to some degree. Maybe it's you put off relationships. You really are just procrastinating going back to school or writing a book maybe or calling your mama or going on a date with your husband or working out. If you get on the air and you're able to share, we'll get those first four copies of Glynis's book into your hands. But you can try to email me to Susie@myfaithradio.com and make sure you include your mailing address and we'll put you in a drawing as well. 877-933-2484. We've got Leanne checking in from New Hope, Minnesota. Hey, Leanne, how are you today?
I'm great, thank you. How about you?
Doing well. Thanks for calling today.
Yes, that procrastination thing, it's bad.
Bless your heart. You're not alone for one thing.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. My procrastination is putting off returning phone calls.
Oh.
And I've come to the conclusion that I think I have an amazing, amazing job. I have the best job in the whole world. I actually get paid to sing and dance and pray with people every day at a care center. I'm a chaplain.
Nice.
But when I come home, I'm kind of talked out.
Yeah.
Prayed out. And I think that that's probably why I procrastinate.
That's real. I appreciate your honesty. I have a bit of a phone phobia, I think. I hate talking on the phone. But anyway, what you want to say anything, Glynis, to Leanne about that?
You know, that is so funny because I don't like to make phone calls either.
See, you're not alone,
but
man.
I do think that's good that you've got the introspection to understand why. And I mean, one of the things that I have to face myself is that I have this mindset that I think I'll get to an unpleasant task after I do something easy. And then the easy tasks always seem to take up more time. Mm-hmm. And then the harder tasks, somehow I, you know, can avoid doing them. So I would say it's almost like ripping a Band-Aid, you know, force yourself to do it and address your mind games that tell you you'll get to that later and rip it off and then set a reward for yourself after you've done it.
Yeah.
So that could be an incentive, building an incentive for yourself.
And don't you think
I think it's okay to.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's okay to admit, like, I'm a writer and I'm an editor, and actually sometimes I had to realize I like to watch TV because I don't have to think. And so I think it's okay to acknowledge that we can reward ourselves with something like that.
That's what I was going to say. And maybe after coming back from work, there can be a little bit of a sandwich time where she works out or has some downtime where it's non-people. And then she says, hey, I'll give myself half hour to return calls. Then I'm back to the popcorn again or whatever it is. You know what I mean? I think if you take it in small bites, it seems more doable. Leanne, thanks for that call. You get a copy of Glynis's book. Andriana, what a beautiful name. And I hope I'm saying it right. Checking in from North Dakota. Did I say your name right?
You did, yeah.
Yay, that's a gorgeous name. So tell us, what's your area of procrastination?
Man, I think when you listed all of them, I think I could say almost all of them. Budgeting, finance, but definitely exercise is a big one, too, that I struggle with.
Okay, Glynis, do you want to ask Andriana anything or comment for her?
No, just agreed. Yeah, I absolutely struggle with that as well. But it's, you know, the exercise thing, this is how I have to deal with it. I work at home. I have to divide my day between day and night. And I started choosing exercise as a physical dividing line for me. So it's like when I get done with, I go to the gym, work out 30 minutes, and then come home and I feel like I'm off. It's like, okay, now I can relax. So find a good time that actually divides your day, if that could help, and use that.
Don't you feel, too, like giving just in your brain going, like if you hate to exercise, saying, I'm going to give it 10 minutes. Because when you start to feel those endorphins kick in, you'll most often exercise longer. But I think if you can make a small commitment, it's like tippy-toeing into it a little bit.
Well, if people feel those endorphins, I don't feel those endorphins.
That's right. I forgot. You don't like exercise.
It's 30 minutes of misery for me. Although,
that's right.
I will tell you, I figured out how to watch Netflix movies on my phone while I'm on the elliptical.
Okay.
So that's my motivation.
All right, then, whatever it takes. So tiptoe towards it, Andriana, and I hope those endorphins kick in sooner than later. You get a copy of the book. I got to give one to Carissa checking in from North Charleston, South Carolina. So she's listening in, and she said, this book sounds exactly like me. So you're going to get a copy. She emailed, so Grace, I'm passing that on to you. 877-933-2484. So, okay, so can you give us maybe a basic definition of procrastination? Maybe we think we know, but give it to us anyway.
Yeah. Yes, I think that's good to start with this little segment, because it's something that I should do and something that I could do, but I choose not to do.
Okay.
So very different from, you know, that you need to get something repaired around your house and you put it off because you don't have the money. That's not procrastination. If you have the money set aside and you still don't do it because you don't like dealing with repair people, that's procrastination.
Very, very helpful. I thought this was super interesting. I'd love to have you comment. Just a quick note, we have a hard break ahead of us in about 2 minutes, so if we have to carry this over, we sure can. But you said procrastination isn't a character trait that some of us are assigned. It isn't common to one personality type over another, although some of us are more relational and some of us are more project-oriented. We all have the ability to procrastinate. Now, listen to this, what she says here. Producers may delay relational issues, and those driven by relationships may delay projects. Wow, I've never heard it put that way. Say more about that if you can.
Yeah, and this was a huge aha for me after I took something called a motivational DNA test, and I learned that I'm wired to produce, which was not a surprise for me. But what was a surprise was the opposite of producing, which is connecting. And so I'd never seen those two things as opposites. And so I realized that it's not that I don't love connecting with people. That's not it. It just doesn't motivate me. So things like getting on my Facebook or social media for me, or that's probably one of the reasons why I hold off on phone calls, because those are connection things. And for me, it just is not the driving force. It's not a motivator. And I think a lot of people who like me are wired to produce don't think they have a procrastination issue because of that. Mm-hmm. That's one reason that we can disqualify ourselves. But it's not just people who are relational that can procrastinate on things. We all can.
And so those who are relational probably can identify things they ought to do, but they're so fulfilled with the people. It almost sounds like a distinction between extrovert and introvert in some ways, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, it's so easy if you're introverted to just be able to accomplish a project. You know, there's some satisfaction there. And there probably is some the connection with the introvert and the production-oriented and the extrovert and the connection-oriented. That's a good insight.
Interesting. I mean, I know I'm task-oriented, and so I'm relating so well to you. When we come back, we're going to talk about this whole idea. We're so good at self-justifying, so how do we identify how or if we've procrastinated or even sidelined some very important things in our lives? Linus will help us discern that when we return. Bible says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I studied that passage once, and to number our days, it means to appoint the day, to claim the day, to name the day. It's to identify the day as a gift from God and walk out your God-given call. So today, we really are trying to get our arms around what is that God-given call and what gets in the way of it. So here, first hour today, talking to Glynis Whitwer of Proverbs 31 Ministry. She's got a great book titled Taming the To-Do List, How to Choose Your Best Work Every Day. We're really looking at the ways that we procrastinate. And if you're a high-functioning, busy, task-oriented person, you may think that doesn't apply to me. But it applies to all of us because we all put off things that are very, very important. So we're continuing this conversation. You can call in at any time if you've got a question or email. Susie at myfaithradio.com. Number is 877-933-2484. And then second hour, Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas will join me in studio to talk about not to focus on promotion, but focusing on promotability, stewarding what God has given you so you're ready for your next place of promise. So before the break, Glynis, I talked about how this idea that we're so good at self-justifying, it can be at times hard to identify ways that we may be procrastinating or sidelining things that are very important. So how do we do that? How do we get past our denial so we can really discern what we're missing here?
I believe it does take a lot of introspection. I mean, we really have to uncover the reasons why we don't do certain things. And for me, it's sometimes there's multiple reasons. So it can be hard to really get to the root of why aren't I doing things. Now, here's an example. I mean, one of the challenges I have is technology. It's not intuitive for me. And so anytime I try to go do something new on anything, I mean, even using a Word document, I just barely learn the minimum of what I have to do. So I just know if I'm going to try to learn something new, I'm going to get frustrated. And so I will put off doing a lot of things. I'll put off learning. I have a Bible study program that I've put off learning for years because every time I go on it, I can't figure it out. So why don't, I mean, obviously there's the frustration, but then I realize I feel stupid and I don't like feeling stupid. So I put off things that are going to put me in a situation where I'm going to feel that way, or I'm going to feel that frustration, or you know, that's the type of thing where you have to uncover, am I afraid of something? Am I afraid that I'm going to fail if I do it? And so getting to the root of that, I feel like when you get to the root of that, some of that resistance, you can start to deal with it. The Lord, if it's a healing issue, the Lord can start to heal it, you know, having him be your confidence instead of your success being where you get your sense of value. So that's not easy. I don't want to imply that it is because it's a challenge.
I'm telling you what, Glynis, you and I are sisters from another mother. totally relate. I know just enough to be dangerous, but there's times when my hubby says, you know, do you want me to teach you how to do this today? Nope, you can just do it for me, but I'll promise you I'll learn it later. I mean, it's, you know, I know just enough, but you're so right. Wow. And see, so to spend some time with God and to dare to pray that Psalm 139 prayer, search me, O God, and know my heart, show me these things, because we sabotage our own progress by our own bouts of fear, don't we?
We do. Fear and doubt and it's all a mix and mire in there. And our enemy wants us to believe that type of fear and those doubts are true. And so there's a lot of unearthing and replacing with God's truth. Procrastination is complicated. So that's just, you know, that's just one reason we procrastinate. But boy, when there's a lie that we're believing, God's truth can replace that with power. Mm-hmm. And so, get to the root of it.
When there's a lie that we're believing, God's truth can replace it with power. Fantastic. Love this quote too. You said, what if rather than looking for the easy way out, we should be pressing into the hard places of life? Could it be that we're actually weakening our resolve to face life's challenges? I want you to think about that. As we avoid and make excuses for and compensate and dance around, could we be actually weakening our resolve to face life's challenges? So any other areas for you, Glynis, that God actually surprised you when he pressed a little deeper and you looked a little deeper at maybe why you avoided or put off certain things? Because, you know, you could have not ever dealt with this and still been a pretty productive, accomplished person. But it was like God was getting you ready for the next stuff he had for you, and you dared to listen to him. So any other light bulb moments for you where you thought, I did not even realize that I was compensating in that way? Yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely. And I believe this one is going to really tie in well with your next hour guest, which they sound wonderful. But I've realized every time God calls me to do something big, there's a fear there. There's a fear, and it's a very common thread that I'm not qualified to do this, that somebody else is more qualified. Somebody else could do a better job than I can. And I can talk myself out of doing things because of that. I don't have the right words to say. It's kind of the whole Moses thing. And the Lord keeps coming back to me with this. I called you because of who you are. I called you because of who you are, not because of who you're not. And so I have to face those doubts all the time. And I'm telling you, writing this book, I procrastinated bad on writing this book. Because the more I researched it, I realized the people who are writing on procrastination had PhDs. They were researchers. They were psychologists. They knew. They're so much more well-educated than I am and in this topic. And who am I to write a book on procrastination? But the Lord just came back and said, I've called you to write this book because of who you are. So, and I think the Lord's speaking that to all of us. Every time we step out in faith, we're going to face that doubt. And the Lord's called us because of who we are, not because of who we're not. And when we can accept that and realize that in those places where we're weak are the places where he wants to shine, we can walk in confidence. It's like we don't carry the weight of that calling. You know, we carry the weight of obedience, but not the weight of the calling. That's his call. So it's freeing. When you can really live with this truth, it frees you to walk in and do what God's called you to do.
We carry the weight of obedience and not the weight of the calling. Is that what you said? That was really good.
It is. Mm. I don't know if that's accurate. That just came to me.
Mm. That's you got to write that down.
It's his call on our life, and we just need to obey.
Mm. Indeed, indeed. So good. Would you say that procrastination is a sin?
It can be a sin. I don't think it's always a sin. I think sometimes it's just something, you know, that we need to do. But when we're called to do something and we're told to do something and we don't do it, then it does become a sin. And it, you know, that's scriptural. You know, for if the Lord speaks to us and we disobey him, that becomes sin for us. That may not mean it's sin for you, Susie. It just may mean it's sin for me. So it really depends on whether God's called us to do it. And I don't know that God's called us to do everything that we procrastinate, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know that. So,
but, and you even said, oh, sorry.
No, just that's an individual issue.
Mm-hmm. You even said in the book, too, there are some things that we procrastinate that are wisdom. I mean, we put off something because a higher priority calls us to.
Well, I would probably not call that procrastination. I think that feels like procrastination, and sometimes we feel the guilt of the procrastination, but sometimes that's a wise decision, especially when our life circumstances change. And I think and that actually is a really good point, Susie, because sometimes we carry around this false guilt that's not ours. God's changed our priorities, and we need to change how we do life. And I think parenting is one of those areas where God makes a big, huge change in our priorities. And sometimes we want to keep doing the things we were doing, and we need to make changes.
Yeah. Boy, that's such a good distinction. I appreciate you saying that, because really, if we're telling ourselves a different story, we're going to be totally squelched by it. Where, you know, you think about these, I mean, I've heard of husbands and fathers who had a chance at a massive promotion, but to uproot his kids in middle school is like something he wouldn't do, and it was downright heroic for him to put off his own promotion because his kids were thriving in their current youth group in school. I mean, and God may call another family out, but I'm just saying sometimes it's downright heroic to say no to something because you're saying yes to a greater call, you know?
Absolutely.
Well, you say at the heart of the procrastinator believes that tomorrow is a promise, and I want you to unpack that statement.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that's something that you learn as you get older and you realize how fragile life really is. And you realize I'm not promised the next minute. I only have this moment right now that I know is mine. You know, I hope and pray that the Lord gives me tomorrow, but it's not a promise. So I think doing what we're called to do today is such an important, it's such an important truth for us to know. It doesn't mean we're supposed to do everything today. It doesn't mean we work ourselves like crazy and work 24 hours a day. We trust the Lord. But every day is, there's no day to waste. Even our Sabbath, whichever day that is, as a day of rest, is not a day to waste on work. So it's a day to honor God's call to rest. So I think every day we just need to be looking to the Lord. I know for me, if I start the day without the Lord's direction, that's a day, a Gwyneth day, not necessarily the Lord's day. So seeking His will for today and not assuming tomorrow is such, it's so important for me.
And for me, wow. When you're talking about the shift in social media and how the change that you've identified was the shift in responsibility, how the burden of communication has shifted from the sender to the receiver, I want you to talk about that just for a moment, because that truly can run right over us. I mean, when you constantly feel like I've got more emails and texts and Facebook messages than I know what to do with, suddenly you feel at the mercy of those things. But we still are the boss of our bodies and the bosses of our days, and we can't let that swallow us alive. So as a person who's right in the thick of it and with what you do in ministry and work, how have you managed to navigate that? But first, unpack that concept for those who maybe don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay, well, yeah, this was one of those big aha moments for me. And I grew up in the era where we just had a house phone. You know, when you really think of it, it wasn't that many, only another generation back. You know, my kids had cell phones, but before that, we only had house phones, you know. And honestly, when I grew up, it was just wired to the wall. Like, you couldn't even walk from room to room. So, and we didn't have answering machines. So if you wanted to get a message to me, you had to call my house, and if somebody was on the line, you got a busy signal and you had to call back, or you had to send me a letter. So the burden to communicate was on the person with the message. Well, now, you know, obviously we have so many ways to reach each other that I can call you, I can send you an email, leave you a voice message, leave a text, private message you on Facebook, and the burden is now on you to respond to me. And so I believe we wake up with this burden to respond to all these people. And if you have even an ounce of people pleasing in you, you are going to make responding your priority. So we start our days where the priorities of other people become our priorities. And so that is it's so ingrained in us. It's hard to break. But I have to just remind myself, I am not a slave to other people's priorities. I'm not a slave to what's important to them. I need to constantly be managing my day so that what's important to me is what I do first, when I have the best energy and time, and then I respond to other people. Now, sometimes other people's priorities are my priorities, okay? That is absolutely the truth, but not all of them. So it's differentiating. When are they my priorities? When are they your priorities? And what do I do first? But we can become slaves to other people's demands, their needs, their wishes, and neglect what God's calling us to do. And that, if without constant care, that can happen so easily.
Excellent.
And you just feel you're at everybody else's mercy.
So when we come back, we're going to talk about these five questions that Glynis says we need to ask ourselves to help identify our true priorities. And that first question is, what can only I do? So if you're waking up and feeling constantly at the mercy of everybody else's demands, this will help you identify what has God asked you to do. Because you know what? That's where the grace is. That's what He's equipped you for. More with Glynis Whitwer when we return. That is the perfect song for today's conversation. Do you dare to pray that prayer? Here I am. Reach into those places I cannot see. Speak to that inner part of me so that all of my life can be in rhythm with what you have for me, God. That's what I want for me. That's what I want for you. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Glynis Whitworth. She's an executive over at Proverbs 31, but she's got also a great book in her own right, Taming the To-Do List, How to Choose Your Best Work Every Day. We've just got about 8 minutes left. We're going to talk about how to identify our true priorities. We're going to go through a list of questions, as many as we can get to, but I want to grab Amy's call, calling in from Richfield, Minnesota. She's learned something about priorities. Hey, Amy, thanks for calling in today.
Hey, Susie, just listening on the way home from school. But I was just thinking about how when we have so many deadlines in our life, it can be stressful to struggle with procrastination. And so one reminder that's really helped me when I go through my work is just to not be afraid to reach out for help. Mm-hmm. I think God put so many people in our lives intentionally to help us through things, and he doesn't want us to condemn ourselves for struggling with procrastination.
Indeed. Amy, is this my niece, Amy?
Yes.
I love you, dear girl. And you're just brilliant, by the way. I mean, Glynis, don't you think? I mean, that's for her young age to really know that we need community for this thing to happen is pretty amazing.
I agree. And I think that shows a humble heart, which the Lord blesses and honors.
Now, I might be biased, but Amy is really one of the most genius people I know. So anyway, Amy, thank you so much for calling today. God bless you, dear.
You too. Bye.
Okay, I'm not the only person who says that about her, Glynis. Her professors all say they've never met anybody smarter, so it's kind of amazing.
Oh, I like that.
Yes. Okay, so these questions to identify our true priorities. What can only I do? Unpack that a tiny bit here.
Right. Well, there are some things that only I can do. Only I can develop my faith in the Lord. Only I can be my husband's wife. And then if I'm not willing to fulfill that role, somebody else might be willing to fulfill that role. I'm the only mother my children have. I'm the only one who can get myself to the gym. I'm the only one who can control what food gets put into my body. So there are some things that only I can do. And knowing those, to me, that those are automatic priorities for me. I know that's God's will for me because no one else can do it.
That's excellent. And this sort of overlaps to this next one. What has God entrusted to me?
Right. Well, we all have something, no matter how humble or grand it is. We have a home. We have a productive work. We have a certain amount of finances. We have a certain amount of health. We have a certain amount of energy. So these are things that God has given us. And it flows right into, like, the third question is really connected with that. How well am I doing in those areas? Or how am I doing in those areas? So, and that goes back to that, the scripture verse that we shared at the top of the hour, which was 1 Corinthians 4:2. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. It's that, how well am I doing in the areas that God has already given me? So how well am I already managing my home? Those are questions to ask. And if it's not well, then it's probably something I need to take a look at.
And the reason we have to do this on somewhat of a regular basis is because we can loosen our grip and sort of let go of things that really matter. And before we know, the stream has taken us down and we're like, how did I get here? So it's totally worth taking inventory every once in a while, isn't it?
I think so, because you're right. And there are seasons of life where things get a little askew. Those aren't chronic issues. And I think we need to differentiate and give ourselves grace during those seasonal things or times where somebody's sick. I mean, when I say how well am I doing in this area, that's more of a chronic long-term question. Not do I have toddlers and I can't keep my house clean. Nobody can keep their house clean with toddlers. Mm. So that's not the issue. But
and if you are able to keep
long term, how well am I doing it?
If you are able to keep your house clean with toddlers, you're just going to be the source of everybody else's jealousy, and it's just not good. Maybe he's messing up a little. Okay, this next one. What passion or dream has God put in my heart?
Well, I do believe that God gives us dreams, and usually they're dreams that are going to give us joy and give him glory. And so but as women, many, many women have lost touch with that dream. And because we're so overwhelmed with the demands of life that we've really either forgotten that we even, that their dreams are even possible, or we've just disqualified ourselves from even ever accomplishing dreams. But God is the major dream giver. He's the one who's able to bring those dreams and make the impossible happen. So what is sitting in there, maybe hidden for years? What has God put on your heart that you might need to resurrect?
Excellent. Finally, what has God asked me to do that I've not yet done?
Well, I would imagine that we there's something that all of us can say, and that those are the hard things. That's the hard thing, and there's where there's some procrastination. It could be witnessing to a family member. You know, I think a lot of us have felt that tug. A lot of people have felt the tug to write a book. Or just it's those big things that are really going to take a commitment that we need to ask ourselves and be honest. If we felt God speak to us at one time, unless he cancels an assignment, it's a standing assignment. So that's my experience with God. Unless he clearly says, nope, you don't have to do this anymore, it's probably still an assignment.
And I think we get intimidated by the looking at the whole mountain, thinking I can't do that whole thing. But you just climb a mountain one step at a time, and you go back to school, get a degree one day, one credit at a time. I think we have to reduce it to bite-sized pieces, and that's the only way anybody who accomplishes great things ever attempts anything great, is one step at a time, right?
That's right, because all you can ever do is one thing at a time, you know? And it's just hard when you feel like there's something so overwhelming. Like, let's say, if it's getting a degree or writing a book or starting a business or doing an international adoption. Sometimes it's hard to break those tasks down, and for some people it's harder than others. And I love your niece Amy. She gave a perfect solution. Sometimes if you can't figure out how to break it down, go find somebody whose mind is wired like that to help you break this down. Say, I don't know where to get started in this. I can't seem to break it down. Can you help me? But it is. It's one task at a time. That's how anything ever gets done.
Very, very good. Well, one final quote before we wrap up and pray. We'd love for you to comment on this and just leave us with this thought is the work I do today my best work? Is it the most crucial work? Is it what will make the most positive and lasting impact on my life, on my family's lives, on my career, on my ministry? Say a word just about the charge for all of us. I mean, we have the promises of heaven. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We are set up to be profoundly fruitful. How can we keep from getting stuck in the rat race so that we can say, you know, today it was my best work?
Yeah. Well, and I think we all want to know that. We want to know at the end of the day that the Lord would say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. And the only way for me to do that is to stay closely connected to the Lord, because sometimes the expectations I put on myself are unfair. And when I was a mom with young kids at home, my best work could have been doing no work and spending the time with my children. Or my best work could be today is putting some work on the dream of my heart. But staying in touch with the Lord every day, knowing that you're clear on His will for you, and trusting that he'll give you wisdom. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without fault, and it will be given to you. The Lord will speak to us. He longs to speak to us. If we are just willing to trust that he is speaking to us and await his answer, there's freedom and peace and grace to be had for all of us.
Very good. Well, this has been fantastic conversation, Glynis. And I'm wondering, as we wrap up, if you would pray for that person who's listening and realizing they've just been on the hamster wheel, but they want their life to count. They want to be awakened to putting the main things before them. Would you pray?
Absolutely. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we do thank you as the source of all wisdom and as a source of all gentle kindness. Father, and this issue of procrastination can make us feel ashamed and guilty, and yet, Lord, I know you don't want us to feel that way. So I pray that your grace and peace and love and acceptance would flood the heart of anybody who's listening who feels that shame and who feels that embarrassment, Lord, for procrastinating. And know, Lord, that you don't define them by that weakness or that choice in their life, Lord. But we pray, Father, that you would also give us power to deal with those weak areas, to deal with what you've called us to do. Give us boldness to face the areas that we feel weak in, Lord, and give us your strength to persevere when we feel like quitting. And Father, we want to give you all the glory in what we do, save none of it for ourselves, and point all all glory and honor and fame to you, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Dear Glynis, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you, Susie. It was such a joy and such an honor. I pray for you as well. The Lord would bless your work.
Thanks so much. I always love talking with you as well. Title of Glynis' book is Taming the To-Do List, How to Choose Your Best Work Every Day. Coming up for Hour 2, Pastors Pete and Carolyn Haas will be in studio to talk about God's dream for your life and how to focus on being promotable. Can't wait for that conversation. Hour 2 is up next.